Hello and welcome back to the Pelicans podcast with myself, Dave Carabini, James Coleman and Bill Gain. This week we're without Jack McArdle. He's gone part-time again as he's hiding away from his sorrows of Dundalk losing again. This week, not really a lot of news in the league, just the results really, and then we'll be running through a couple of bits about the national team and the FEI as an association, as well as our weekly Kerry update. But first of all, as I always start off, lads, how are we getting on? James, we'll start with yourself.
I'm only all right. Friday absolutely ruined my weekend before it started, so we'll talk no more about that, but we have a chance to make amends for it now at the weekend. So,
and Bill, how about you?
Yeah, not too bad. Won't complain, because you don't listen.
We always listen, but we have listeners that listen as well, Bill. So,
in one ear and out the other.
But yeah, I mean, look, it was a busy weekend in the League of Ireland this weekend. I'll run through the weekly headlines, which is Reynolds Renaissance, I suppose, down shells in Talca Park. France-tastic for Drogs as they find the late equaliser through France Perot. Shams stuffs Sligo in a 3-0 victory. Nil all in Dundalk and Pats. And newly promoted Snooze Fest as Galway draw nil all in the RSC. I've absolutely butchered that, but
We did have to change the Shamrock Rovers Sligo Rovers headline because I just couldn't take it. Do you want to tell the listeners what your headline was Rover, for that one?
Rovers is green as Shams win the derby.
Scumbag.
a few first division ones. Ebbing the flows as Athlone down Harps. A golf fest in St. Colman's as Wexford win 4-2 against Cove Ramblers. And seventh heaven as Kerry go 7 games unbeaten with their 6th draw in 7 games. And Cork remain top after a tough test against the students. Lads, how are we feeling about the weekend overall? A few good games in there.
Fucking shite weekend. I couldn't give an absolute hoot about the rest of the games. Tallaght Stadium was the epicentre of a fucking 9 on the Richter scale earthquake. It was a fucking disaster. Fuck that place. I'm sickened. I'm absolutely sickened. I can't describe how annoyed I was on Friday.
Can I just say that I predicted that exact result? Now, I didn't get Johnny Kenny brace, but we'll keep that for the second round of fixtures.
That's the only saving grace on Friday was that he didn't score. But it was an ex-player, another ex-player, Aaron Green. So, I mean, swings and roundabouts.
But when I had the headline put in as Rovers is green, it was actually spelled G-R-E-E-N-E.
Ah, it looked better in print, man.
So, if it was on a newspaper, it would look deadly. And then, actually, another result that we missed, that we didn't actually chat about, and myself and James actually predicted it spot on, which was Bohemians 1, Dundalk 0. As the Renaissance actually seems to be happening at Bowes, which I'm fucking terrified about because we have them on Friday. But Dundalk are really, really struggling now. They're kind of caught adrift at the bottom of the table. I think they were 4 points off Drogs. Drogs have a game in hand, which is against Shamrock Rovers. So, you know, we're not going to go into too much detail about that one because you never know what will happen in that fixture. But, you know, they're 4 points behind. 8 goals and goal difference behind. It's not looking good. It really isn't. 0 wins out of 10.
3 goals scored. 6 defeats. Score 3 goals, concede 16 is wild. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
For a team like Dundalk as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a lot of non-League of Ireland friends who pretty much ask me every week what's gone wrong at Dundalk. And it's not something that I want to explore on the podcast this week because we're missing our resident Dundalk supporter who I just love seeing in pain over this kind of stuff. So I think we save that for next week when they've lost to Sligo.
Hopefully. Heavily. Another 5-0 win for Sligo would be lovely. Ooh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. That would be spectacular. Ooh, yeah. But, suppose we transition now into the main point of news for the week, which is Jonathan Hill has left the FAI.
I think it did need to happen, in fairness. You know, even when you see Paul Cook, when the committee, what was it, the Oireachtas committee, a couple of weeks ago, very, very embarrassing. You know, the the viewpoint of the FAI in general is shocking and has been for the past 10 plus years, maybe more. Really, really unprofessional setup and run really unprofessionally. And, you know, it is, I know we talk about poison chalices here on the podcast quite often, but it's going to be tough to go into that role and succeed anyway. But Jonathan Hill did not cover himself in any glory whatsoever at all. It just reeks of unprofessionalism and amateurism, and that's not what we need in our football association, you know. Far from it.
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted yesterday, is the Football Association of Interims, because is it David Correll is appointed as the interim CEO. I mean, when are we going, like, this is all in the wake of a absolute shambles of a managerial appointment process. So, you know, we're still waiting. We were promised early April, because there was a contractual obligation that they couldn't announce the new manager before then. It's just, you know, there's still nobody. We're recording this on the 16th of April. There's still nothing, absolutely nothing out about a new manager. We're the favourite is changing every day. We were told Ole Gunnar Solskjaer the other day. We were told Willie Sagnol a few weeks ago. We were told Gus Poyet. We were told Lee Carsley was guaranteed. It's all, you know, it's just an absolute shit show at the moment. And the whole organisation, I know, like, obviously you look back at, I mean, James, you said 10 years. 10 years ago was 2014, you know.
Yeah, sorry. John Delaney was more like 20 years
long
ago.
Before that.
It's more like 20 years.
20, 30 years.
The
FAI has been a shambles probably since the World Cup in 2002. And
yeah,
like probably before that, we just never heard about it. So it's, I mean, it's just not a good look. The new, when Delaney left, it was all starting to look really positive and everybody was really looking forward to it. And then it's just like, no, it's just not. There's no positivity around the place. There's nothing really to look forward to at the moment. I mean, Bill, what you obviously have a bit more on the international management side of things, or the international side of things, and your repertoire, we're more League of Ireland folks. But what would be your outlook on it?
Oh, can I just say I was absolutely heartbroken when the news came out that Ollie wasn't going to take the job. Although in that tweet by Andy Minton, it should, like, he did mention that discussions did take place in January. And I think a lot of people are completely ignoring that, because you had the same old typical Irish football camps coming out and saying, oh, there was nothing in it, clearly, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was rumours made up. The Irish Kieran, for one. on a broader scale, the FAI has been clearly a poison chalice for some time. I do believe Jonathan Hill went into a tactless job, so, like, I don't think, in some ways, he could have done just absolutely nothing and just been a really boring CEO and probably have been looked upon favourably. But there are just too many issues. You had the scandal in the Dáil where the redacted email was shown with basically just the FAI stamp or two or three lines. I don't know where they go from here. You have the problem with if you employ from outside the association, that how can you work in an association where you don't know the problems that are trying to be overcome? You don't know the people involved. You don't know what's gone on before. But then if you point someone from internally inside the association, then are you pointing someone who was a part of the problem? So it's really a poison chalice at the moment. I don't know who you'd actually get in to get the job. I see Jonathan Hill's background before coming in was in, he worked as a CEO in different companies, worked in marketing. Like, what sort of thing? I don't know how they should approach the successor, because now you have the problem with hiring a manager, and does that delay the whole managerial situation? Do they go back in and discuss things with managers that they had before? Will they have to go through the same old step, talk to Neil Lennon again, talk to Lee Carsley again, try to get Lee Carsley to talk to Ollie again? And do we have to repeat the same last 100 days again under a different new management scheme? I don't know where we go from here, but who takes in charge now of the whole process remains to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an ideal situation, obviously, from the FAO's point of view. I said earlier on that there's not really much to look forward to. But there is one thing, and I mean, it kind of segues on to our next point, which was Sammy Smodix was absolutely robbed of the Championship Player of the Year. I just have his stats here. He's played 44, scored 30, and assisted 4 for a Blackburn Rovers team that haven't really had a great season. So, you know, it's one of those, I don't know, like they're what's that, 17th in the league, 5 points above the drop zone with 3 games to go. And he's managed to bag 30 goals in all competitions. Like, it's absolutely sensational. Now, he is 28 years old. So from an Irish point of view, he's not exactly a spring chicken. Like, he's kind of hitting his prime now, but he would have probably preferred if he was 23, 24, coming into his prime when he started getting call-ups. I don't know why he wasn't called up by Stephen Kenny and Mick McCarthy, but look, that's, we can only speculate about that. But I mean, he was absolutely robbed of the Championship Player of the Year award. He's top scorer. He's had a great season. And there's a stat there that I really like from as a striker, which is he has 6 yellow cards this season, which means he's got a bit of a shithousery about him. And I love that. That's what you want from a striker. So, I mean, lads, what do we think about that?
With my green Irish tinted glasses on, yeah, he was robbed. You know, even 6 goals in 3 games in the FA Cup and 24 and 41 in the Championship is wild in such a poor team. But the more I thought about it, like Somerville has played really, really well with Leeds, like 17 goals and 8 assists. I know it's not the same numbers that Sammy is doing, but you know, would Leeds be where they are in the table without him? You'd also wonder. I still think Sammy should have won it. I think, you know, in such a poor team, to score that many goals and to be so prolific, like every time you open Twitter now at the weekend, it's another Sammy goal, like, which is class. But as Dave said, we missed out on him a couple of years ago. Don't know what the backstory to that is, but who cares? We have him now, you know, and we'll still have him for a few years. He might be, you know, hitting his prime now, but sure, that's exactly what we need. We have a lot of young players in our national team who are still getting good, you know, so and still not even near the height of their potential. So I think it's good to have a player like that, in fairness, somebody to drag everyone up along with him. So yeah, I suppose we can also celebrate the fact that Kieran McKenna got manager of the year in the Championship too. So, you know, swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, there's always positives to be taken from it, I suppose. Bill, what are you thinking about the whole Sammy Smodic situation?
I won't claim to watch the Championship maybe as much as even James. I don't think even you, Dave. I know if you go on Twitter, people will be complaining about Sammy. And like, look, I'll be honest, I don't think most of them watch the Championship. They're going basing off statistics, which can be misleading too. The one thing I will say, and it's not a black or white answer, is it easier to stand out in a team playing poorly, or is it easier to play well in a team that's well-functioning, performing well at towards the top of the table? You'd have to favour I think personally, it's the player of the year, not the team of the year. And by someone performing to those levels in a team that's underperforming, objectively underperforming in Blackburn, that surely gives the nod to Sammy, because, again, if you're going to a functioning team, you're surely going to do some way decently. On a broader scale, international thing, we say that Sammy come into his prime now, or we could have had him a few years ago. That might be the case. And I actually followed Sammy from his time at Peterborough, because there's an Irish owner of Peterborough who I have a great deal of respect for, Darren McAntony. But some players just develop at different rates and times, and while he should have been called up sooner, I think it's around about the right time, like maybe 18 months ago he could have been called up, but he wasn't playing at the level, or he hadn't done enough. He was playing in League One before then. And the important thing with Sammy is we have an awful lot of young players in this team, but Sammy actually is the kind of missing link, because if you remember under Stephen Kenny's time, a lot of the issues were we had a lot of young players, we had a few older heads, but there was an entire generation in the middle of players missing, that just were completely lost, players that weren't brought through from the 21 setup. And that's why you had like Hendrick and them staying on, because there's literally a whole generation of players missed. I think Sammy is the perfect age profile for the Ireland squad, and he's 28 now. Like, he could still have 6-7 years left in him, depending on how he adapts to the game and goes on. Like, so he could still have a very successful career in Ireland, I think.
We need to be playing him in the correct position.
That's the hope. That is the hope.
Like, playing him out, playing him out wide for Ireland isn't going to work. He scores all his goals through the middle. You know, I think we had this debate before the last international break about starting him ahead of Ferguson, because Sammy kind of plays almost as a false nine in a way, straight through the middle, which doesn't really work if you have Evan Ferguson up top. But do you just play him up top with Evan Ferguson? You know, like, there's still a big hole in the middle of the midfield in the Irish team, so still holding out hope for a superstar there, but. Regardless, he's a good player to have. You know, you'd prefer have him than not have him. So,
yeah, no, I totally agree. Completely agree. But I'll move on to our next point of call, which is Kerry FC. They're 7 games unbeaten in all competitions. They're seven in the league. And 8 in all competitions, having beaten Treaty in the Munster Senior Cup back in March. 6 draws, 1 win. Unbelievable stuff. It's fantastic to see it. They seem to have really turned the corner and like really settled in this season into the league. Now, they are still 8th in the league, but on 9 points, because they have 1 win and 6 draws. But, I mean, look, it's great to see it. Like, it's, they're brand new into the league. They're not being cut adrift. They've really kind of improved this season, and they're ahead of Cove and Longford, which is a massive, massive achievement considering the size of those clubs. So, you know, I'm looking at it, Bill. You're obviously a massive Kerry supporter in terms of, like, you've pushed the agenda. You've really kind of you pushed for a sponsorship for them last year, which is fantastic. And, you know, Kennedy Amechi's really gotten a lot better this season, and he's improved. He's scoring goals, and I mean, it is great to see. But from your expert opinion, what are your views on the Kerry fairy tale so far?
I think we have agreed. Did we agree on air as a podcast and off air that when Kerry FC are in the playoffs, we go watch them?
100%.
Like, again, it's not beyond the realm of the possibility either, because, like, we spoke about the first division before. The standard is not great. They're 8 now, but, like, they're a win off the playoff situations, and they're tough to beat. I know at the start of last year, they went from being hockey by God, was it like 7-1 or 8-1 something? They improved as the season went on, and they had a few near misses. Winning games might be the problem, or scoring goals. They have 9 goals this season, which they only have. They've 1 more goal than Langford, and they're level with Treaty, but they're struggling for goals. But they're tough to beat. 10 goals conceded makes them the 4th best defence in the first division, which is interesting, because for a team that was so leaking goals last year, to see that improvement is big. There's a special mention to Conor McCarthy, the manager, who's young. He's the youngest manager in Europe, I think, managing the moment now. Is he 25 or 26? Which, now, I think it's a bit of a stretch to say this, but there's a bit of Stephen Kenny vibes about that. Like, because wasn't Stephen Kenny very young when he came into the league initially with Longford? But yeah, look, I wish Kerry nothing but the best. I think they have a lot of good players. It's going to be a slog, but we want more regional teams. We want more teams in Irish football, and they're a great example to have entering the pyramid. I will say, I think I got that Kerry FC. I did a trade on Kerry FC, Deep Dive Club Series, whatever. Was that before they were announced as a club coming in? So it's interesting, and there's a few more clubs after getting in contact with me in recent weeks who might be looking to get into the pyramid, and you might see a few trades about them too. So we will see.
Yeah, James, thoughts?
That's class. It's nice that all of us on the podcast can finally agree about something. Kerry is our team, it seems. But I'm delighted for them. I'm delighted for them. As I said last week, the more regional clubs we can get in the country, the better. And then you don't have all the barstoolers saying, well, I can't get interested in the League of Ireland because I don't have a local team. Bullshit. And I've always had this argument. But anyways, it's class. They have the makings of a good team there as well. They have a lot of youth, which is good to see. And they're still scraping results and getting results out of it. I'm actually a big fan of their goalkeeper as well, Tuta. I think he's very good. Big fan of him. We also have ex-Sligo Rovers players playing for them, McCarthy playing for them. So, yeah, it's great to see. Delighted for them. Absolutely happy out. And it can only improve.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously went to see them last year when Drogs played them. And it was one of those, the atmosphere around the club was just so positive, even though they hadn't won a game. I think, did they win one game last season, all year? And they didn't win a single home game all season. But the atmosphere around the fans, everything about them. I'm a big fan of what they're doing down there. Now, the ground is a bit of a shithole. I had a dose of the trots when I got down. And there wasn't any toilets. So I was kind of just sat there.
Oh, like, Jesus Christ.
What am I going to do? So... it wasn't an ideal situation, but look, I mean, they'll only get better with that kind of stuff with time. And I'm really, really excited for the whole Kerry project as an entire, you know, institution, as a future of Irish football, as you say, regional clubs. I see a lot of people say that there's too many Dublin clubs. I disagree. I think that there's not enough regional clubs. I think the amount of Dublin clubs is in keeping with what you'd see from every capital city in Europe for having a lot of clubs. If you look in England, there's how many clubs in London, in Scotland, there's four or five that are playing Glasgow, four or five that are playing Edinburgh. If you go to Spain, I mean, there's eight or nine clubs around the general Madrid area. So, I don't see a massive issue with having four or five Dublin clubs, apart from the fan base issue. But as a whole, I don't really see an issue with having more Dublin clubs. What I want to see is more, you know, I want to see a Roscommon or a Tipperary and Kilkenny, Kildare, Offaly, you know, the likes of your Leitrims and, you know, counties that, like, they're not big GA counties. And you could nearly kind of say, well, look, if you're not a big GA county, why not become a big football county? You know, there's an in there. There is an inroad that you could use. And, you know, it's one of those things that I think the FEI really need to push. They need to find the biggest club in all these counties and say, how about you enter the League of Ireland and we will support you and we will push for you to be improved and to get better and to, you know, it's a win-win situation because those areas then get a bit more interest. You know, you get the big away days where the likes of, you know, your Shamrock Rovers, your Sligo Rovers, your Derrys, your Bows, Shells, like they'll all travel down in their numbers to these places on a Friday night or Saturday afternoon. And you'll just see then everything will then improve. Like you'll get more money into the bars and the restaurants and the hotels. So I don't understand why we don't seem to be pushing the agenda on this. Because it'll only improve everything. Infrastructure, it'll improve, you know, the standard of football, it'll improve the, you know, just the general spend around these places as well. So, like, as from a business mindset, I don't see how we wouldn't be pushing for this. And from a fan's perspective, this is absolutely ideal to have more regional clubs. And I think it's fantastic to see that it's starting to happen with the likes of Kerry, the likes of Mayo coming in. I'd love to see Monaghan back in the league. And Kilkenny and Kildare as well, if we kind of moot it, is coming back as well. So, yeah, I don't see how there's any negatives to be had from having more regional clubs in the league.
Yeah, definitely regional clubs anyway. I know you said you don't really have a problem with more Dublin clubs. I don't think we need any more Dublin clubs. I wouldn't get rid of any, but I don't think there's a need for any. Like the likes of Irish CFC and these kind of clubs, like I don't think there's necessarily a need or a market for them. If we can get facilities up and running and bigger, you know, like especially like Dublin clubs and Dublin derbies, they're very limited with what they can do because of capacity and because of facilities. So if we had bigger grounds all across the board, I don't think there's necessarily a need for more Dublin clubs, but regional clubs, definitely. And I suppose you look, you see, you have Kilkenny and Kildare, as you said, like Kildare have underage clubs and underage teams within the League of Ireland system. So that's probably the next step for them. You know, like I know loads of fans of Dublin clubs that live in Kildare. Yeah, I think it's only up for the League of Ireland, but maybe a step away from the FAI might be the next thing. Question mark. That might be a topic for another day, but we'll see.
Yeah, today's definitely not the day to have that conversation. I haven't done my research enough on how it works. But like, funnily enough, like I was out on Friday night. I didn't get to go to the drugs game because I was at a family event, and I was chatting to my uncle who lives in Waterford, and he was talking about like, you know, how the league is just booming, and he's a big ga man. And he was saying, like, look, the league, you can see it from outside. The whole thing is just booming and everyone wants to go to games. There's more people going. There's more people talking about it. So, I mean, look, if you're seeing that from the ga heads coming out who have ridiculed the League of Ireland for years, that are now saying it's starting to boom, they're starting to notice it. There's something right going on. There's something that we're doing that's being noticed from other people that aren't interested. So, like, there's only one way to go from here. And it's up because, I mean, we've been at our lowest low. We've been at the situation where we are averaging 900 people at games, or like some clubs are struggling to get 50. You know, I've been to games in Wexford where there was only 60, 70 people there. So I don't see a way we can ever go back to that now with this interest. And I think COVID and the European Super League have a massive part to play in that, because fans have just become disillusioned with their big fucking multinational conglomerate football clubs over in the UK and in Spain and Italy. And it's something that I think has benefited us severely. And like, you look at the markets in the transfer markets over abroad, in terms of like spending hundreds of millions on players, markets tend to crash at some stage. That market is going to crash. And at that stage, the League of Ireland is just going to have to boom again. And I can't see a situation where it doesn't, and we are kind of building in the right way. It's not like the olden days where you have a drugs or a fucking, you know, Shells or Bows who just pump a lot of money in for 2 or 3 years of success and then end up folding or falling down. We seem to have a serious kind of structure being built to sustain this wave that we're on. And I'm really positive about it. I can really see it getting better, just getting better. And, you know, I don't see how we don't get better from here. Anyway, we'll move on to our predictions. It's going to be a short enough podcast this week, because there's not really a lot to discuss. But Jack not being here, but we've got 8 fixtures across the weekend. It's a double game week for some. And lads, I'll run through the fixtures here. If you haven't got your predictions written down, get them written down now so you aren't copying me. Bowes Drugs in Dalymount, Derry Rovers, Galway are playing Shells, St. Pat's against Waterford, and Sligo Rovers against Dundalk, which has been moved to Friday night due to the fact that they have a Monday night game. We've already heard James's rant about that. And then on Monday night, we've got 3 games: Sligo Rovers against Galway United, Derry City against St. Patrick's Athletic, and Shelburne against Shamrock Rovers. So, I mean, this is a pivotal weekend for the title race. It's absolutely vital. If you look at it, you know, Rovers are away to Derry and Shells over the course of the weekend. Derry have Rovers and Pats. So, I mean, this weekend could really see a shape being taken across the league. So I'll kick us off with the Bowes Drugs game. I'll be there. Back on the regular patterns of my weeks, where Friday nights are cut off for League of Ireland games, home and away. So, I've been talking about the Reynolds Renaissance. They've won 3 in a row, or is it 2 in a row? But they've kind of hit a bit of form now. But I think Drogs are due a win. We've already beaten them this season, and I'm going to be extremely biased here and go for a 2-1 away win. And France Perrault, to get two goals. James, what are you going for?
I did say I had 2-1 wrote down here for Bulls, but I don't know. Drogheda don't really fill me with a whole pile of confidence, you know. Bulls are, yeah, as we said, a bit of a renaissance. Still 3 wins and 2 losses in the last 5. I'm going to go 2-0 Bulls, I think. Sorry, Dave.
Wanker.
Sorry, Dave.
We're 4 games unbeaten, James. I don't know what you're talking.
Yeah, it all comes crashing down now on Friday night.
Bill, what are you thinking?
Bohemian versus Drogheda. Does anyone want to guess what result they're going for? Book Bulls, they had their struggles with Declan Devine leaving. And Anorals has had a decent start. I think it's just the table really kind of consolidating to where everyone kind of should be. So I wouldn't read too much into it.
Bill, I'm going to interrupt you. You don't have to keep going. I already know what you're going for. You've told me already.
Yeah, look, 1-0 for Bohemians the other night. I still think they're not that great. Drogheda have drawn their last 4 games. I think that will continue. We're going with a 1-1 draw.
I'm in shock. Bill, I come to you for Derry against Rovers. Shamrock Rovers, that is. Sorry, James.
Yeah, look, there's a lot being, again, huge expectations left in Derry. They're unbeaten in their last 3 matches, 2 draws. Still trailing Shelburne by 5 points. I still think that they're not going to be the closest challengers to Shamrock Rovers when they win the league. And I think, hold on. Yeah, look, I think Shamrock Rovers should be too good for them. Shamrock Rovers have turned the tide now, even if they lost their weak against, what was it, Pats. I still think their overall performance level in that game was decent. So I'm going 2-0 Shamrock Rovers.
James, I'll come to you there, just so you don't copy mine.
Derry Shams, yeah. Derry, yeah, I don't know. Derry are really, really mixed bag this year. They're not what I don't think anyone expected them to be. Oh, jeez, that makes no sense. They're not what anyone expected them to be, I think. 2 losses, 2 draws, and a win in the last 5. And they're still in second, in fairness. But Shams are really hitting their form now. I suppose Shams are kind of coming into what everyone kind of thought they would be. This slow start, but they've, you know, 3-0 on Friday night against Sligo Rovers, and they made pretty easy work of us in the end, unfortunately. They're up to 4th now, so, and a game in hand until Monday, I suppose, but I'm going to go Shams 3, Derry 1 for that one. Could it be a title decider later on in the season? We'll see.
I've gone for the Bill Gain special on this one. I think up in Derry, it'll be difficult. And I've gone for a 1-1 draw because I think it'll be a very good game. I think it'll be very evenly matched. And I think Derry are just a bit better at home than they are away on that horrific pitch that they have up there. I could see it being a 1-1 draw. And I think Will Patching started to hit a bit of form as well. I think I could see him grabbing a goal. But yeah, next up, Galway United against Shelburne. I'll set us off here. I'm going to go for a 0-0 draw. I think this is just going to be an utter snooze fest. John Caulfield against Damien Duff just doesn't fill me with confidence of it being in any way an entertaining game of football. So 0-0 with very little shots. Maybe Stephen Walsh will have a shot, seeing as he's one of the best strikers in the League of Ireland history. So, but yeah, James, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I agree. A bit of a snooze fest, but I've actually gone for the same score as it ended up in March, the 4th of March. I'm going Shelburne 1, Galway 0. Shells are still top. They haven't had a win now in their last 3, but they're still 5 points clear at the top of the table. Galway, on the other hand, they're in 8th. 2 draws, 2 losses, a win. Not scoring a whole pile of goals. Yeah, Shells 1, Galway 0.
Yeah, look, Galway against, you made the point, Galway, Caulfield against Duff, Shelburne. I think that's slightly harsh on Duff, but I can understand where you're coming from. Shelburne are a win in the last 3 matches. I think this is a tough test for them, and I think it's important that they get a win now, because if they go 4 without a win, and then go 5 without a win, the noises will get louder and stuff maybe in people's heads, but he'll get an awful lot of stick too. And the pressure comes on quick. I think Shelburne will win 1-0.
Hold on, I wanna come in there about pressure on Duff, right? There's no denying Duff is great for the league, but he's an absolute clown. Last week, hold on, let me finish, Bill. I can hear you. You're readying up there. Last week, Duff was like, oh, I don't look at the table. I don't look at the table. It doesn't matter. We take every game as it goes. And then just on Friday night, oh, well, we're still top of the table last time I checked. He's a fucking mouth. He's a mouth. And he's great for the league. I have no doubt about that. And Shell's fans love him. But you can't open your mouth about him without, oh, he's in your head. You can't. He's a bollocks. You know? He's good for the league, but he's a bollocks.
I think that in your head stuff is just, it's just a joke, really. It's not really.
It's not. No, some Shells fans take that incredibly serious. They're an awful crowd.
Well, I do think.
I'm going to get pelted.
Well, I will say, I have that record. I prefer Shells supporters to Pats supporters. Yeah, like, okay. People are like, are manufacturing dramas out of every little thing he says, and it doesn't matter if he says a little or he says a lot. There's headlines made of it. And I think that kind of shows the character he is. The kind of interest he's brought in the league. Yes, he said that he doesn't look at the league table. But he also didn't say he never looks at the league table. If we're going to be pedantic and look and jump on words and intricacies, he says he doesn't look at the table. That means he just doesn't generally look at the table. He never said, I never look at the table. So if we're going to be pedantic about words, we could just be saying like that. But
Jesus, Bill, he's not going to... Bill Duff is not going to shift you, man. No matter how much you lick his arse, he's not going to shift you, all right? Or meat, or whatever you say down south.
Again, it's completely not an issue. people are going to make a lot of what Duff says, no matter what. So, like, he can just do what he wants, really, because...
He's class, yeah. Like... I won't lie, he's done so much for the league, and I think you can say like, oh, it's because of people not wanting to follow English teams and this sort of carry on that has the league interest up in the league. But Duff definitely has something to do with it as well, like without a doubt. And I absolutely despise him, but I hold my hands up and say that. Like, and if he's a bit like Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool. His own fans love him. His own fans absolutely love him. And it's this like siege mentality. Own fans and Bill love him. And everyone else hates him. It's siege mentality. And it works well. We'll see at the end of the season. No, it's the same kind. No,
compared.
No.
No, Duff is a nice guy. Clap of the wanker.
And you know both of them personally, do you? And he's not going to shift you. No matter how hard you try.
Joe, you can resort yourself to juvenile insults all you want. Like, if you want to attack the man and not the argument, then
Get out the violin. No, Jesus Christ!
There's a reason why he's called Bluffer, and it's not just because he's, you know, it's not just because it rhymes with his name. He talks so much shite.
Thank you.
It's not even funny. Like, if you look at it this season, like James made a point a couple of weeks ago. Like, they're top of the league, right? They haven't scored more than 2 goals in a game all season. That's like, and people always say, oh, well, you know, it's a sign of champions that they win ugly. But a sign of champions is they also win comfortably a lot of the time as well. Shells have not had a comfortable win in a long, long time. But they're still going on as if they're fucking, they've walked the league. They're literally doing exactly what they slagged Bowes about last season, which was, you just won the league in April. They didn't, they're fucking shite. The league is won in November, October, November time. Yeah, they've set a record now. They've won the earliest league title in League of Ireland history. It's fucking ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And the Shells fans, look, I've got mates that are Shells fans, and they're the most fucking insufferable crowd I've ever seen in my life. And, like, they really are. Like, they're just everything about them. They remind me of Arsenal fans, where it's like, if you don't mention them, like, Arsenal fans, I remember watching it on the Overlap fan debate one time. They were talking about, oh, who's in with a chance at the title, and Arsenal weren't mentioned. And the Arsenal fans are going, oh, why aren't you talking about us? Shells are literally that. It's like, yeah, right, you're top of the league, you're 6 points clear. Rovers have a game in hand against a fairly average Drogs team. And if they win that, they go 3 points behind you and have to play us three times and twice at home. Like, do me a favour, man. Like, come on. Come on. Like, this whole Shells thing, it's going to fall apart. I promise you now. And I will die on that hill. It will all fall apart.
And I'll die with you.
Everyone will be saying how big a fucking bottler Damien Duff is when it comes to the end of the season. It's all going to be just fall apart. They're going to finish fourth. They're going to struggle to that as well. And it's just all going to fall apart because Damien Duff is a fucking spoofer.
But man, he's all in your head now.
All I'll say is I'd rather have points on the table than not have points on the table. And you're going on about it falling away. No one expected Shelburne to challenge for the league this season. So if they fall away and then to come fourth or second or third, that's not necessarily, oh, they've collapsed there.
Bill, nobody expected Arsenal to win the league this year. But they've still bottled it. Nobody expected them to win it last season. They still bottled it.
Also,
so if you're top of the league after nine games and you're 6 points clear of your nearest rivals and you don't go on to win the league, you've bottled it.
But Arsenal were top of the table with 70 to 80% of their season done, more. Whereas this is 25% of the season. It's not the same thing. Like,
it's not. I know it's not the same thing, but they're going to be top for at least another 2 weeks.
We're going to have a serious conversation about getting Bill off this podcast. I'm not a fan of Dylan Connolly, the Bulls player, at all.
I loved it.
Laughed as much until I saw that picture of him doing the in your head. Oh my God, it was so funny.
Talk about
sprinkling. The funniest thing about it is this is a total reverse of it now, because the Shells fans are going to be going ballistic about this. And I promise you now, that means I'm in their head.
That's, yeah, 100%. That's what it is.
I'm in their head. I'm in their head more than they're in mine. I don't give a fuck about Shells. I only focus on drugs. But I'm talking about Shells now because we're talking about a prediction for their game against Galway on Friday night. But
they're in your head, man.
They're not in my head.
Duffer's in your head, man. Duffer's in your head, man.
Yeah, he isn't a shite. Shut up. He isn't a shite.
And final note on that. Now, I have one final note to say on that. Fucking demolish Talca Park. And I'll leave it at that. Never mind save Talca. Demolish it.
Anyway, moving on to the next game. St. Patrick's Athletic against Waterford. James, I'll come to you first on that one.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I forgot we were doing predictions. Pat's Waterford, is it? Yeah. Pats are they're finally putting a few results together. I know they had a bit of a blip on Friday. Well, I don't know what you call it, a blip, but a nil all draw in Dundalk. You know, I think they're expected to win there probably, but it's a bit of a blip, yeah. Well, I'm not saying that because we have to play Dundalk on Friday and I'm terrified that we're gonna be their first win of the season. So Waterford, 11 goals scored, 11 goals conceded. I think they're 7th, maybe 8th. They're down around there anyway. I think we bet them with 10 men a couple of weeks ago.
So what you're saying is they're average.
Yeah, but they're a great club, great people, great manager, you know. We all love Waterford. But unfortunately, Waterford fans,
I have a gripe with Waterford. They shafted their assistant manager. They got in... remember, they had an assistant manager after Reynolds left, and they got a new one in.
The intern.
I like that guy.
He was only an intern, man. He was only an intern.
I liked him.
Stop having a pop at Waterford. They're a great club, man. Great people. Great manager. Great town. But unfortunately for Waterford, it's going to be a 1-0 Pats win.
Bill, what do you think of that one?
I actually think those two might rival themselves for the two most insufferable fan groups in the league at the moment. I know we just went out with Shells fans, but I think these fans are worse. Pats should pick themselves up. They haven't been quite at it yet this year. I expected more from them, to be honest, but they should be a different level to Waterford, really, to be honest. 3-0 Pats.
I mean, Waterford, I can't really say anything about it. I'll just get given out to. I'm going to go for a 2-0 Pats win. I think Pats have kind of hit a bit of form now of late. They've been very, very good the last few weeks. Apart from the Dundalk game, of course, but they have been rock solid at the back since Danny Rogers went back in goal. You know, since Pitaluga was taken out, probably more so than that. But yeah, I'm going to go for 2-0 home win. I just can't really see past it, to be honest. It's, you know, Pats are just going to do what Pats do, just win the game comfortably. And yeah, I think Rory Keating might actually score for once. Next up, Sligo Rovers against Dundalk. James, you're dreading it?
I wouldn't say I'm dreading
it. You're going to it?
I am. I know I went on a big old rant there last week about not being able to make the Friday or Monday fixtures, but annual leave has come in clutch. So I took both Friday and Monday off to go to the games. So I'm expecting 6 points. But Dundalk seem to have, I wouldn't say steadied the ship, but they're making strides to that effect in a way. I know they lost last night against Bowes, but from watching the highlights anyway, they put a couple of decent chances together. Could have scored, probably should have scored. Question mark, could they have had a penalty? I'm not so sure for a handball, but yeah, I'm terrified, to be honest with you, in a way, because I'd hate to be Dundalk's first win of the season. I'd absolutely hate that. I'm going to go, we've had 2-3-0 losses in a row now, which isn't great, but I'm going to go Sligo Rovers 2, Dundalk 1. Fingers crossed.
I've gone for similar, but not quite the same. I've gone for a 1-0 home win. I think Sligo will just be a little bit too much for Dundalk. Dundalk don't score goals. It's been a while since they got one, I think. But yeah, I'm going to go for 1-0. I think it'll be a fairly poor game overall. I think. We're supposed to actually have nice weather this weekend as well, which is always nice. But yeah, I'd be confident in saying the Sligo Rovers 1-0 win against Dundalk. I don't think this will be their first win of the season, because I have a feeling they're going to fucking save that for us when they play us on the Maybank holiday. But yeah, that's the way I'm looking at it. That's how I feel. Bill, what are your thoughts?
Sligo was a team I've been consistently very complimentary towards, but the performance of the last few weeks have been there. 2 defeats in a row. Dundalk, bottom of the table. I know they last against Bohemians the other night. I think their performance was quite good from what I've heard. And the performance against Pats, they had a chance against Pats too. So look, they're not that, like, okay, they're poor, but they're not that poor. And I think on the reverse fixture earlier season, Sligo hammered Dundalk in Oriel. I don't think we'll see that again. I think it'll be a lot closer, and I think it'll be a 1-1 draw between both sides.
The Bill Gaines special. We'll move on to the Monday night games then. We've 3 games on. Could be, as I said to the lads before we start recording, this could be a potential title impacting weekend of football. We've got, first of all, we'll go for the one that I don't think will impact the title race at all, which is Sligo Rovers against Galway. I've gone for a 1-0 home win again. I think Sligo will have a good weekend this weekend, which is very strange for me, considering I, you know, have criticised Sligo so heavily.
You love
over
us,
the
man.
Years,
but I've changed your perception.
I think it'll be 2-1-0 wins this weekend for Sligo.
Come on.
1-0 against Galway in the Connacht derby. Anyway,
good boy,
James. Thoughts?
Yeah, I'd love 2-1-0 wins, but without Nando Pineacker at the back, I'm not so sure about clean sheets. I hope I'm wrong. That would be fantastic if I am. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, because it's not going to be the same crowd that we would have had if it was on the Saturday. But out of pure bias, really and truly, I'm going to go for the same result as I said against Dundalk. I'm going to go 2-1 Sligo Rovers. And all 6 points, hopefully, come Monday night.
William?
See, this leads me to a question now. Do I go for the results that I think will happen, or do I hedge my bets and go against you because I want to get more points from Christian Stable, which I believe I'm still winning?
Me and you are level at the moment, Bill.
Yeah, actually, we're not going to speak about that anymore.
I'd like a VAR check on that, though. So now I go, I know I predicted them to draw 1-1 against Dundalk. I think they'll win one of the matches, and I think it might be this one. Yeah, I'm going 1-0 Sligo Rovers.
So the VAR check for Bill is done. Myself and Bill are level on 31 points, with 22 correct predictions and 6 correct results. Jack is on 24 points with four correct results, four correct score lines and 19 correct predictions. And James is on 23 points.
Fuck with sake.
Two correct score lines.
One just point behind him. Him. Fucking hell.
You're only losing because he's gotten the score lines right.
Yeah, I got a fucking hatred of outcomes, but not scores. Sick of this shit.
You're level with me and Bill on outcomes, yeah.
Oh, bollocks.
So there's your VAR check, Bill, you cheeky cunt. So, yeah, now on to the important games that could actually decide the league. I suppose it's going to have a massive impact on the title race this week, this Monday. We've got Derry City against St. Patrick's Athletic. Bill, what are we going for in that one?
Derry, aside from that, been overly enamoured of it. Clearly going predictions. I'm not sure Rory Higgins is the manager to win them a league title, but definitely a conversation for a later date. Against Pats, who I expected better things from this year, but they might be coming together now. I think it'll be a 1-1 draw.
Shock.
I think it'll be more of a goal fest. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw. I think it'll be a great game of football. I think it's probably going to be the best game of the weekend and could be looked back on as a really, really good game this season. I'm going to go for a 2-2. And I suppose I've given a goal scorer every game, pretty much. I'm going to go for a Michael Duffy goal.
Have you gotten a correct scorer yet? Yeah. I don't think so. Have you? Oh, have you? Yeah.
Yeah, why? I've gotten loads.
No, I just think that you give them.
Our quick goal scorer. No, goal scorer is
now. Keep trying. Keep throwing shit at the wall. Originally, I did have Pats to sneak a 2-1 win here, but I don't think Derry are going to lose 2 on the bounce at home in the Brandywell. So I'm going to change that and I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw between Derry and Pats. Dave will be saying, "Oh, you're copying me, you're copying me." No. I think this is the only scoreline I think I like the same. Bill copied me on another one earlier on, but anyway. Yeah, 2-2.
Well, we've got one more for the weekend and then for this week's pod, and then we'll wrap it up. So finally, the Ringsend Derby that hasn't been played in Ringsend in God knows how long, because both of them are blow-ins to their current locations. Shelburne against Shamrock Rovers. Bill, I'll come to you first on that one.
Yeah, one thing I think we should note as well, it's great to see that on Friday night, Derry City and Shamrock Rovers was live on RT2, and then on Monday night, you have Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers live on Virgin Sport. So I think that's the increased television coverage and the competition between our beloved national broadcaster and Virgin Media is welcome, and I'd like to see an even better TV deal, a proper TV deal in the future. With regards to the match, Shelburne got the better of Shamrock Rovers, I think, last time out. I think Shamrock Rovers are in a better place than where they were then, and I think Shelburne have kind of taken a back step since. Just because Shelburne are at home, I'm going with a 1-1 draw. If Rovers were at home, I think Rovers would win.
I'm going to go for Shells and Rovers in Tálchan Park. It's the last time they play in Tálchan Park this season, because these two Derry Pats and Shells Rovers are actually being brought forward from the European fixtures. I'm going to go for a 2-1 away win. I think Rovers are just going to start clicking into gear now. And I think it's going to be a terrible weekend for Shells. I think they're going to be 5 games without a win by the end of it. I think it's going to be a time now where they start to kind of fall apart a little bit. They start to kind of have a bit of a meltdown. And again, I think they'll get it right again at some stage of the season, but I think it's going to be a situation now where Shells are going to hit a really bad run of form and kind of fall off a little bit. And I think Rovers are going to start to kind of overtake them a little bit and just kind of put the pressure on, turn the screw.
Yeah, like these kind of games, I think Shells are kind of built for. I don't know. I have a weird feeling that Shamrock Rovers are going to win this, but at the same time, it's tough to go to Tálchan when Duffer is in your head. So I am going to go with a Bill Gaines special on this one also. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw, and I'm going to say that Mark Coyle's going to score, and I go on, Johnny Kenny will score as well. There you go. We're going to go over to our Dundalk correspondent now, live from the Centre Circle in Oriel Park, who's going to give his predictions via voice note for all eight games.
What's your story, boys? I wasn't on the pod, but here's my predictions for game week 11, round 11 and / round 12. First game, we have Booz against Drogheda. After Booz weren't too impressive Monday night against Dundalk, I was up with it. And I just don't think I've seen enough. I thought we were good, but we just didn't get enough of a foothold on the game. We couldn't create nothing. I think Booz will struggle to break Drogheda down. I'm going to go with a nil-all draw there. Derry versus Rovers, or Shamrock Rovers, sorry. Or Shams, even, as James would like to call them. I feel like Derry aren't doing too bad now. They're starting to click into gear. And of course, Rovers after a good win over Sligo the week before. Sligo, the real Rovers. I'm going to go up in the Barneywell. Be a tough place to go. I'm going to go 2-1 Derry. Gawler versus Shelburne. I'm going to go Gawler with decent at home at times, and Shells are tough as fuck. Shells off the back of a loss actually as well. I'm going to go 2-1 Shells with no fans as well, which will make a difference, but it's good to see what they're doing with the virtual tickets. Pats versus Waterford. I feel like Pats, Inchicore's bouncing again. I feel like Waterford are starting to slip down the table, as Bill predicted. Keith Long is spoof up. I'm going to go 2-1 St. Pats. And finally, Sligo Rovers versus Dundalk. Brian Gartland's Black and White Army. I feel like it'll be a tough game for Dundalk. Sligo have been all right at home this year. Even off the back of a heavy defeat, Dundalk still winless in 10 and our worst ever start to Premier Division in the club's history. Don't feel like we'll get any better up in Sligo, but I don't feel like we'll get a first win, but we'll get another point on the board. I'm going to go 1-1 draw. And then on to Monday's fixtures, nice and quick. We have Sligo and Galway. Sligo Rovers, that's a Connacht derby that got postponed a few weeks ago on the Saturday, being replayed on the Monday. I feel like Sligo will do well here. I feel like I originally predicted a 1-1, but I don't know if that made the pod. I'm going to change it this time, though. I'm going to change it to a 1-0 Sligo. On the second game, Derry against Pats. As I said beforehand, I feel like Derry are decent at home. And Pats are starting to get well. I feel like Derry will get 6 points over the weekend. So I'm going to go 2-1 Derry. And finally, Shells versus Rovers. I feel like that'll be a tough game. I feel like Shelburne at home will be good. Rovers predict them with loss and up in Barneywell. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw. Best of luck, lads. Come on to town.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the podcast. Please follow us on our socials at Rep Tracker, at Blog Irish, and at the podcast. We have a few more guests being planned, a few giveaways. So if you can help us get on our way to 1,000 followers, that'd be great, by leaving us a review on the App Store.